episode number 305, 2012 Camaro pricing.
Almost live from the Motor City, Detroit, Michigan, it's the Camaro C28.com podcast with your host Chris Frezza and Jason Debler. Strap in. It's the Camaro C28.com podcast on the air.
And welcome back, everyone, for another episode of the Camaro Z28.com podcast. I'm Chris.
I'm Jason.
You ready to go?
Am I ever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the title of this show is 2012 Camaro Pricing because the pricing was released this week. Mm-hmm. And thanks to our good buddy Camaro Scotty.
Yeah.
We linked that up right on the front page.
You know, I was thinking about this.
What's that?
We had John Fitzpatrick, Camaro and Corvette marketing manager, sitting right here in the studio just 2 years ago talking
with
about
Cheryl.
Was Cheryl here that
yes,
day?
She
too?
Was.
Was she? Talking about 2010 Camaro pricing.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was a whole year ago that the ever so slight controversy about the Camaro V6 having accurate reported horsepower numbers. Surprise, Ford! We were really higher all along.
Yeah.
And it's been a year already.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So what does 2012 bring for us?
Well, it brings higher pricing.
Well, how much, though?
It's not by much. So I'm looking at the GM website right now for 2011 Camaro pricing, and it says the Camaro Coupe starts at $22,805.
A giveaway.
Yeah.
And it is.
So we're looking at here, Bob, as provided by CamaroScotty.com. The 2012 Camaro LS base price will start at $23,200.
So difference of what, $400 or so?
Yeah, $395, something like that. Not bad. You gotta figure there's always increased cost.
That's a whole $6.66 a month on a 60-year loan. Or 60-year loan. 60-month loan.
Wow. Yeah.
666.
Yeah. So it says the Camaro convertible starts at $29,275 for 2011. And for 2012, a Camaro convertible will start at $30,100.
$30,000.
Yeah.
So just for grins here, we're going to be referencing this more than once today, actually. Let's take a look at the 2002 Camaro convertible. Hold on a second. Let me find it. Chris, go ahead and say something cool while I'm looking this up.
Something cool.
There's so much information. I don't know where to start. Oh, I found it.
Okay.
Here we go. 2002 Camaro convertible RPO 1FP67, $26,450.
Not bad.
So we're looking at a difference of $3,500, yeah. $3,600, give or take.
Yeah, for almost, it is a 10-year, almost a 10-year difference.
2002 to 2012.
No, this is 2011 here,
$29,275. I'm talking about the new one, the 2012 is $30,100.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so 10-year difference, $3,500.
How about that?
Now, everybody's like, yeah, it's still more. Well, let's think about this for a second. Would you rather have a brand new, with all the modern technology, safety, XM, you know, the whole spiel, or pay $3,500 less and have a brand new 2002 Camaro convertible base model with a staggering, how much horsepower here? You see that on the list?
No.
I know it's in here. That's the thing. There's so much information that you don't know where to start.
The horsepower.
231 cubic inch L36. I don't know what it had, but it had like 200 and change.
200 even, I think.
Yeah, I think so. You're right. Anyway, I love the white book for situations like this.
Yeah, you just got to dig sometimes.
10-year difference. Ugh, man, that's that. $3,500 is not much to ask, considering the engineering that went into it. I think that's a good deal. Plus, you get 300 and how much horsepower now? 315?
323 now.
Yeah, oh, that's right.
Yeah, they increased it. Again.
So for $3,500 more.
But they actually did something this
year.
They
did a new car and more horsepower than the Z28 in 2002.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a million ways
and
to
the
compare. Right, yeah. There's a million ways to compare, but the fact stands is that it's still a performance bargain, and I defy anybody to find a better deal.
Yeah.
The dollar per horsepower and dollar per value for what you expect out of a car like this.
Unbelievable.
So nice job once again, General Motors. I wish it was $10,000 less, but I still think it's reasonable.
What else we got here?
Oh.
Well, we got a couple other special edition packages here for 2012.
Yeah.
Let's continue on.
Let's do.
Let's start with the Honor and Valor package. That'll bring you up $3,645.
There's been a bit of criticism over that one.
Yeah.
Because they're saying that enlisted people cannot afford this.
Yeah.
Well,
go check the forms.
That may be true, but at the same time, somebody making minimum wage can't either.
Right.
The idea is this was for anybody to show their honor for service folks' valor.
Yeah.
Yes, that's it. Yes.
Well, then we have the Transformer Special Edition, which we talked about last week, and the 45th anniversary package for the 2LT and the 2SS.
So how much is a Transformers package?
3,000 even.
So less than the Honor and Valor package?
Yes.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
And then we've got the 45th anniversary package. Not too bad. I mean, for the 2LT, it's $1,625, and for the 2SS, it's $1,375.
Not bad. Not bad. That doesn't come with the RS package, though. That's an additional. In fact, none of them come with the RS package, correct?
That is correct. The RS package with the 1LT is $1,675. The RS package with the 2LT is $1,375, and the RS package with the 1SS or 2SS Camaro is $1,350. And I'm imagining it's that way because of the wheels, because they changed the wheels, right?
Right.
With the RS package.
Right. Hey, taking a step back, how much did you say the 45th anniversary package was?
It was, depending on which version you want, for, say, like the 2SS, it's $1,375.
Really?
Yeah.
Because the 35th anniversary package in 2002 was $2,500.
Yeah.
Hmm.
How about that?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Very interesting.
I'm trying to see what the most expensive option you can get on the Camaro. And so far, I'm seeing the 21-inch wheels.
Oh, my God. Aren't those
nuts? With
blade
silver inserts and red flange stripes. $4,880.
Those are the ones that come on the Synergy Edition, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they look great.
Hold on. Here's the 21-inch machine aluminum wheels with silver accents, $5,280.
And the thing is, I don't even think that comes with tires. That's the one pricing part that I have a hard time swallowing, because that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
I mean, you could get a nice set of forge lines for a little bit more than that. And I'm not discrediting, you know, the wheel, but boy, that price is just a lot of money.
They have two more wheel options here, too, with 21-inch. 21-inch machined aluminum wheels with black accents and 21-inch painted aluminum wheels, both $5,280.
Wow, that's a lot of money. They must be forged or something, though. You know who'd be a good one to ask about this?
Oh, who's that?
Old Fitzy.
Old Fitzy.
John Fitzpatrick. John, and we know you're going to be listening sooner or later, because you never miss an episode.
Never.
Let us know what the deal is with the wheels on those things, because I got to tell you, buddy, I think they're on the high side. But, you know, there's probably a reason behind it. If there is, cool, I'd love to hear it. If there isn't, well, you got to pay to play, I guess.
Now, those prices we were talking about originally were list price.
Right, that's correct.
Yeah, not the MSRP. If you go the MSRP, it's about another $1,000, it looks like.
Mm-hmm. Well, very cool. You can download this in PDF format at CamaroZ28.com. Just head to the front page currently and hit the link, and it'll take you right to the download.
Yep.
Thanks, Camaro Scotty, for providing that for us, as always.
Yep.
Hey, speaking of front page...
Yes.
Smart eagle-eyed members and listeners will note that they can now listen to this very podcast anywhere, well, not anywhere, but on their browser.
Directly from their browser.
Yep, right on the front page. We enabled the website to where if you want to listen to the latest episode or any episode going forward of the CamaroZ28.com podcast, just go to the website and click the play button. It's that simple.
Yeah.
You need a flash-enabled browser to do it, though.
Yeah, you can't use your iPhone or your iPad.
But that's okay. You know why?
Because we've got apps for that.
That's right. There's an app for that, too. What else we got to offer? You know, so there's Stitcher, right?
Absolutely. Stitcher Radio.
They can download that.
You can do that across any platform, Android, iPhone, Windows, all that good stuff.
Nice.
We have our own app for the podcast, which was just released last week in the Android marketplace, so you can check that out. And as always, we're in the iTunes app store as well. So,
yeah. And then if you don't have anything but telephone access. And like, say, for example, you're stuck in an office and the power goes out.
This comes in handy.
It does. And I've used it more than once just to see how it sounds. And it's not bad. From any phone, all you got to do is pick it up and dial a number. And you can listen to our latest and greatest podcast episode. The number is 650-644-1939. Just add that to your speed dial.
Yeah. That's pretty neat.
Yeah. I'm glad we do that. What else we got? There's always Facebook and Twitter and all that. And, you know, that's facebook.com/CamaroZ28com and twitter.com/CamaroZ28com.
Right. And coming soon, Google Plus.
What do you think of that so far?
It's going to take some getting used to. It's pretty basic right now.
I hear there's a lot of hype behind it, though.
There's a lot of hype behind it right now.
Interesting.
Google's banking a lot on this to compete with Facebook.
We'll see how it goes. I think I have enough friends, though.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
All right, so let's talk some Camaro tech here.
Yeah.
Recently on the board, there's been a nifty discussion about 5th-gen Freemods. And there's been a couple of interesting additions to it, but nothing really heavy-duty. And I'm thinking it's because the car was very well engineered to begin with. But yeah, we'd like to see you post in that thread if you know of any free mods. So far, what do we got here? I'm pulling up the thread right now.
Well, the biggest one here with all the instructions is from one of our buddies from the New York 5th Gen, Mucker 15.
What's up, buddy?
Well, he talked about how to do a free mod by removing the water bottle, which resembles a dead goose. Is what he says.
You know, it kind of does when you pull it out.
It gets gets more air flowing, and the goose weighs 9 pounds, according to Hot Rod Magazine. So you can remove that and get a little bit more airflow.
Yeah, I guess.
He says you can also black out your taillight bezels, and that's pretty cheap and to do as a free mod.
Yeah. I've actually seen people where they put it in paint or a stripper.
Oh, yeah?
And in the chrome just flakes off, and then underneath it is a flat black.
Oh,
so you don't really have to paint it. You can just soak it and strip it.
It's not bad.
According to a buddy of ours named Larry from a company called Tech AFX, which we're going to be talking about sometime in the near future here, if you disconnect the wiring harness from the injectors on each side, you can tuck the harness behind each injector. And so it doesn't look so ugly. And that's for people who take off, as he calls it, the trash can lid from their, you know, the engine cover. Yeah. Some people are just not a fan of that at all.
Yeah. It's not bad.
Yeah. But there's really not a ton. I mean, the 4th-gen cars, you could just do all sorts of nutty things to them.
Oh, I remember that. God, it was the EGR delete and everything people were doing with the free mods, the IAT thing, relocate the IAT, I think it was.
Yep. And the fuel pressure regulator.
Yeah.
Get an adjustable. I mean, there's so many things to do, but not much you can do on the 5th-gen. So, you know, if you've got one, why don't you call it in and tell us about it and also post in the thread. And Chris, can you link that up in the show notes,
Absolutely.
Please, sir? All right. And since we're talking about mods, I posed a question to my buddies, and I'm going to pose it to you, dear listener. I've done, obviously, a significant amount of modifications to my 2010 Camaro. What should I do with the OEM parts?
Get rid of them.
You think so, Chris?
Oh, yeah. Get rid of them.
Really, just sell them, because no need to keep them and sell them with the car?
Nope.
I'm thinking the same thing, because I don't think anybody's going to look at my car if I ever decide to sell it and go, oh, can't wait to take the blower off that.
I know. Can't wait to put it back to stock.
Can't wait to put the stock suspension on it.
Nope. You sell the car as is.
Okay. Yep. But I want to ask the listeners, that's probably what I'm going to do. In fact, I'm going to work on that this weekend. But what have you done, and how has it worked out for you? Have you kept your takeoff parts and then sold them with the car? Do you plan to do it, or did you dump the takeoff parts as soon as you can for whatever you get out of them? What did you do? I'm just curious. I'm going to get rid of them and make space.
So you still have your wheels and everything?
Not my wheels. I did sell those.
Oh, you did sell those.
Right away. That's okay. The only thing I did sell, but I have my stock grill, stock LS3/L99 intake. I even have the L99 camshaft and lifters and timing
stuff.
Chain and all, or timing cover and all that stuff.
And all that.
The exhaust is at the shop. I forgot to pick it up, and they probably hacked it up and used it for something.
Uh-oh.
But I do have my exhaust manifolds and my catalytic converters, and you know, there's some bucks sitting there. And
you can gut your cats.
I don't have cats on there now.
Oh, okay.
No need for that. And it's,
but you didn't hear that here.
No, I mean, right now, as it sits in the garage, but when I go drive it around, I put them back on.
Yeah,
yes, that is correct. Yes, that's... I do. Anyway, so they're just sitting around and sitting around.
You can get some money for those. You know, people are going around stealing those off cars and turning them into money.
Well, come steal mine.
All the copper.
Get them the hell out of my garage, man. I'm getting a new garage floor put in. Yeah. Can't wait. So that's my question to you guys. What would you do? I know what I'm going to do, but what would you do? That's it.
That's it?
Yeah. I think. What do we got?
Okay.
We got any voicemails?
Yes, we do.
All right, let's hear them. This is my favorite part of the show.
Let's see what our listeners say this week.
That's right.
Hey, guys. Bear. On my way to work here the morning of the 5th. I just got done listening to this past week's podcast, and I just thought of something. As far as that the jerk you met up with there at the show, I was at a show on the Father's Day weekend, and I was the only fourth gen in the show. They had over 200 cars there, and there was, there's police presence. You know, they have their little undercover Impalas and whatnot, and this guy, and it looked like a 32 Ford or something like, or no, it was actually a Bel Air. I think it was a Bel Air. But he pulls in from the side road to get into it's one of the main drags in town. They finally blocked it all off and wait for a long time to go to one of these shows. And this guy pulls in and he has one of the undercover Impalas in front of him. And the guy's sitting there swearing at the top of his lungs, "What the blank are you doing? Are you in the blanking show? Move your blanking car." And he's sitting there throwing a fit in his car. I mean, he didn't have far to go. He probably had, you know, there's people walking all over the place. I mean, don't tell me this guy's inconveniencing you that much. I mean, first of all, his car was, you know, it was nothing special. I mean, it still needed a good deal of work. But, I mean, really? I mean, half the other people in the show are hearing you swear at the top of your lungs they're a cop? I seriously, get over yourself, dude. But yeah, as far as car show etiquette, that's a good one. I'll have to leave you guys to open that one up for discussion. But I usually, anyway, I'll call back in with different stuff some other time. All right, guys, thanks. Bye.
Thanks for calling in, Pear.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah. One of the things we should talk about in car show etiquette is be courteous to your fellow, you know, enthusiast.
Yeah.
You don't have to get on their ass. You don't have to start yelling at them. Hey, everybody's there for the same reason.
Mm-hmm.
Just be a little courteous.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you do get held up doing certain things.
Well, when there's that many people in a confined area, yeah, what do you expect to happen?
You know, and it's 100 degrees outside.
Well, it wasn't our case.
You know, normally car shows are going on in the summertime, so.
Yeah, and it goes both ways. I mean, you know, I tried to get out of the way of the guy that I talked about in the last episode when I realized he was waiting. All right. You know, I tried to do, and I tried to apologize for being in his way, but he obviously didn't have the time for that because they were giving up money in another parking lot somewhere or something. So he had his hurling insult at me as he drove by.
Drive by insulting.
But Chris, when we got there on early Saturday morning, there was a guy parked right in the way. And we couldn't get around him. It was right at the registration tent. Did we have a crap fit over it?
No.
We lay on the horn and say, "Move your effing car, dirtbag," or anything? No, because probably didn't know. So we were patient. I mean, it's car shows are supposed to be a casual weekend of enjoying cars and the people that drive them, not being a complete jackass over it. So Bear, you know, that guy's probably unhappy with life, and let him live it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So. What else we got for netiquette? You know, it goes both ways. So try to stay out of the way because other people need to go somewhere too.
Yeah.
You know, don't park in the middle to show off your car when you're going to hold other people up.
Yeah. I think the biggest etiquette part of being at a car show is don't touch other people's cars.
Oh, yeah.
Unless you ask permission.
Or unless you know them really well.
Well, even if you know them really well, you should probably ask too in case they've just done something to the car and they don't want you to touch it. You know.
Well, I mean, what I mean is, like, Lynn and Kelly, and Kelly got on my case for forgetting her name last week, by the way. Don't ask me why. It was a long weekend. I'd park next to them all the time with their awesome Stormtrooper car. And, you know, Lynn and I will be hovering over his engine bay, and I'll reach out and grab something to see if it was coming loose or something because it looked different, you know, and things like that, you know.
But you don't just open the door and jump in it.
I saw
Of course, the car's making a noise, and you can't figure out what it is.
Here's the deal. On fourth gen Camaros, if you take the T-top off, there's a little part of the weather stripping. There's like a little, I can't even really describe it. Just a little, it looks odd, but it's meant to be there. A little part of the molding of the weather stripping.
Yeah.
And I was at a car show and I saw some guy picking at it because he didn't know what it was. This is my freaking car. And he's just pulling on it, tugging on it, like, what is this thing? And I had to kind of walk up, and I'm like, you know, can I help you, buddy? And he goes, oh, I didn't know what that was. I'm like, well, it's meant to be there. Oh, okay. Please, really?
Yeah.
You touching my car, I break your face.
I think that's the two biggest rules. Be courteous, don't touch other people's cars.
Yeah, unless, you know, you ask or...
And if you're leaning over the car and you have like a chain or a badge or
even
hair
buttons
or whatever,
on a shirt,
jacket,
keys, you know, on a keychain on your...
Yeah, just kind of hold them close to you so you don't scratch someone's car inadvertently. I know no one means to do it.
Yeah. But, you know, but people want their cars to be looked at. But, you know, if I go over to my body shop and I'm looking at what he's working on, and if I'm wearing a button-up shirt, I make sure I press my shirt to my chest as I lean over because I don't want the buttons to rub against his fresh paint.
Right.
I saw a lady had a purse over her shoulder that was kind of like by her belly area.
Yeah.
And she was leaning inside a car, and she pressed the purse up against the door with her belly, and it had zippers all over it.
Ooh.
And I was about ready to come unglued for the dude that owned the car. I mean... Yeah. Anyway, I could go on. We made our point. Sorry. So,
well, if somebody else has a car etiquette tip for car shows,
yeah,
call in. Let us know.
Yeah, you know, just to kind of get the word out there, because obviously not everybody is fully aware.
Right.
You know, it's just one of those things, especially if you're new to the whole deal.
And you're bringing kids to a car show.
Oh.
We could go a whole episode of talking about different things about kids at a car show. And
as Superfest, there's a kid carrying an umbrella.
Yes,
you know
saw
what I'm talking
that.
About.
Yes, I saw
running
it.
Yes. Near the cars with the umbrella with the metal.
By Andy's car.
Yeah, Andy, our friend Andy, has a Hendrick LT4 SS, one of
eight?
Nine. But only eight offered to the public.
Right.
Still with the window stickers on it.
Yeah.
Some kid was running around with an umbrella next to it. Come on. No. Boy, Bear, you got us talking on this one.
I know, sure do.
All right. And you know, you could get us talking about something, too, if you hit the right button and pick the right subject. And here's the buttons to hit.
To stay informed and in touch with the Camaro Z28.com crew, go to the message boards at CamaroZ28.com. If you have a question for the podcast, call the Camaro Z28.com voicemail hotline. The number is 586-486-3182. That's 586-486-3182.
And here's what our next listener said.
Hey, my name is Joe Pitt. I just listened to your podcast about the ZL1, and you mentioned how Mustang had overtaken Camaro in sales, which kind of saddens me, but things happen. But in that vein, my brother just went to the dark side and bought himself a 2012 Mustang. And one of the reasons he bought the Mustang and not a Camaro like I did was the cabin tech. Chevy and GM in general really needs to jump on this. He's got the high-end cabin tech in his car. It sucked in all his contacts from his iPhone. It displays all the information from podcasts or music or audiobooks on the screen. It is just really great. It connects with Bluetooth, and it's what the young people are looking for these days, or even the older techie people like me and my brother. My Camaro has a pretty lame iPhone interface or iPod interface. I can't even pause an audiobook or the iPod in general. I have to switch to another source to do that, which is, you know, pretty crude. My Buick Enclave, at least I can pause it, but it's still a pretty crude interface. And waiting to 2014 or 2013, I think GM and Chevy are going to lose a lot of sales to Ford, because people are going to go to that cabin tech that they've got, and GM just needs to get on the ball and get this stuff out there faster. Love the podcast. Bye.
Thanks for calling in, Joe. First time caller, I believe.
That was a heck of a good first call.
Oh, I know. It does. It there are things that are, I don't know, just don't work as well with, you know, the integrated gadgets.
Yeah.
That you would bring to the car. And he makes a great point with I didn't realize it was called Cabin Tech. I thought it was the Ford Sync system or something like that.
Maybe he's just talking about the passenger compartment technology.
Okay.
Is what I'm thinking. It might be a term from a different area. Yeah. They don't say that around here, though. They just say in-car entertainment or something like
that.
Yeah, but he's got a stellar point.
Yeah, he does.
I'm happy with the 25th gen Camaro sound system and head unit.
I would be happier if I could import all my stuff, but I think there's something... Because of the way that the systems are integrated with OnStar, that it won't work. So I think OnStar is the one that needs to be upgraded.
Hmm.
Because I think that's what stores all your stuff.
Yeah, it is kind of clunky and everything. I do agree that an upgrade needs to happen. Again, I'm happy with it, but I'd be happier with more and better. So
you can't even charge your iPad in the car with the cable.
It doesn't work?
Nope.
Why not?
Doesn't work.
Just doesn't?
Just says not charging.
Well, they probably didn't foresee the iPad coming out when they were designing the car and the system.
I don't know.
But still, just you
like
know what?
The other iOS device.
I got to think that the head unit of the radio is one of the biggest shortcomings of the car.
Do you?
Just because it's so integrated, you can't do anything with it without getting that Metra kit. And I hear that's kind of a nightmare and they're kind of doesn't kind of work so well. That's what I hear. I don't know if it's true.
But does any really car designer go into designing a car going, you know what, we're going to put this in so it's easier for the aftermarket to change it out?
No, what they need to do is they approach it by saying, we need to make this so they would even consider changing it out.
Yeah.
And unfortunately,
that's a point.
They
but,
didn't quite you know, hit it with the Camaro, I'm sorry to say.
Everybody wants to change something out.
Especially me. I can't leave anything well enough alone.
God.
But, you know, I mean, I'm still happy with it. I'm glad I got it. It cranks, it rocks, it's great. But it just doesn't have that new modern tech that I think, you know, he's right. People are starting to look towards. I didn't see it at first. I'm like, you know, it's no big deal. You know, you buy the car for the performance, but that's not true. People buy cars for tons of reasons. So great first call in, Joe. Thank you very much for that.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's it for voicemails, eh?
That's it.
All right. Well, let's move on here real quick because I think we're starting to run out of time. Oh,
we've got another soundbite from the BBOMG.
Yeah, I almost forgot.
Yeah.
Let me fire that up.
Okay.
And tell me your name and where you're from.
I'm Trent from Buffalo.
And what kind of Camaro do you have?
A red one. I have a 2010 RJT.
And what makes it special?
Makes it special. It's a day one production car.
That is significant. And tell me, what does Camaro mean to you?
It means a lot of fun is what it really means when all is said and done. Waited a long time from the time ordering this car from basically a color chip and looking and saying, well, I think these stripes might match the car. And finally seeing it when it showed up 58 days after it was built, but Area 51's a whole different story. We can get into that in another cast. Just absolutely loved it from the day it rolled out on the dealer's floor. Called and said, your car is in. And I said, I know that because I've been tracking it since it left. And went and picked it up and couldn't be happier 2.5 years later.
Spoken like a true Camaro enthusiast. Thanks, Trent.
You're welcome.
All right. That was cool.
Yeah.
Thank you, Trent, for letting us ambush you with that one. So just before we wrap things up, this is episode 305. The 305th Camaro Z28.com podcast episode.
Yeah.
And as such, let's honor the Chevrolet 305.
Let's.
The 305 was a variant of the small block Chevrolet, a 5-liter. It's 262 cubic inches and bored out and stroked using the crank of a 350. And it was introduced in 1975.
Wow, that early.
Yeah, but it was actually specifically used in the Chevrolet Camaro from 1976 all the way through 1992.
Yes. I remember them in the third gens, definitely.
I don't know if it was all years in between. I would think it would be for some one way or another, but that's
I think
just,
so.
That's according to the Camaro White Book that we've referenced about, I don't know, 7 or 8 times now in this episode. So,
remember in the early 80s in Palace, too.
The 305, man.
Yes. 305, we salute you.
That's right. Oh, that's an AC/DC song.
Oh.
So...
Cool.
I think the next one will be episode 307. We'll find out. But anyway, we got to wrap up here.
Yeah.
Get your voicemails, emails, and whatever else in, and we'll definitely address them, and we'll see you next week.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Camaro Z28.com podcast.
If you have questions or comments for Chris and Jason, call our voicemail hotline, 586-486-3182. Or send your comments by email, webmasters@CamaroZ28.com. Once again, thank you for listening to Camaro Z28.com podcast. We'll see you next week.